MoMusicArtsBoomBlog.com.
The presence of the Lord, and I will not tarry long here today. I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And to God be all glory for everything that He has done. How many of you know that God ordained your being here? And if he brought you here, He's brought you here for you to receive impartation and for you to walk out of here crackling with power, crackling. When you walk out of this meeting, your life is going to be straight and you're going to understand the purpose of God bringing you to this earth. That your entrance into this earth was not by mistake, and it wasn't just because your mama met your daddy. You better hear what I'm telling you. Because there were many abortions and there were many miscarriages, but you made it. And the reason you made it is because there is a divine purpose for you on this earth. Somebody give God praise. Look at somebody and say, I am not a mistake. And some of you maybe have to come into that realization. I am not a mistake. Look at somebody and say, God planned me. He took His time and strategically planned us. He took His time and paved out the way. He made every point in life, every high rise and every down low. And He made everything according to His divine plan. And look at somebody and tell them, as a matter of fact, I'm right on schedule. Yeah, I'm right on schedule, baby. Through all the hell I've been through, I'm right on schedule. All the pain, I'm right on schedule. Hallelujah. All of the heartbreak, I'm right on schedule. Everything I lost, I'm right on schedule. Everything I'm about to gain, I'm right on schedule. And you need to let every demon that's assigned to you know, no matter who's here, no matter who's been assigned, I'm here and I'm on schedule. And every demonic power has to know that you are their undoing. Every demon needs to know that's been assigned to you, that they've been assigned to you for you to whoop on their head. Every demon needs to understand that they've been sent to you for you to exercise your power. Yeah, I wish I had some folk who believe that stuff here. Every demonic host has to realize that they're there for you to show your strength. Hallelujah. One can chase a thousand. So that means you're supposed to be demon chasers, baby. Demon chasers. And what you did in my generation, I am going to be the champion for my people. And I'm taking back everything. That's not my message. High five somebody, say, I'm taking it back. I'm taking it back from mama. I'm taking it back from my daddy. Sister, I'm taking it back for my brothers. I'm taking it back for my nieces and nephews. Taking it back for my grandparents. Taking it back for my cousins. Taking it back for my uncles and my aunts. Everything. He should have killed me when he had me. But now that I know who I am, and now that I know my life was designed for victory, my life designed for triumph. My life was designed to overcome. My life was this. I was a victim once, but I will be a victim no more. You are looking at a victor. You're looking at an overcomer. You're looking at a conqueror. You're looking at more than a conqueror. Do I have any room that knows that's who you are? Know this, baby. You're not supposed to be here. You're not supposed. Some of you got here by the skin of your teeth. Some of you had to scrape stuff up to get here.
But you got here because there was a divine order. There was a divine destiny at the USF Dome. There was a summit meeting for all the champions to gather together. This ain't for the weak. This ain't for the beggarly. This is a meeting for the champions. This is a meeting for those who are going to stand in the gap and fight a war for your families and fight a war even for your enemies. I don't hear you here.
You are not receiving power just to walk away saying you got a touch. You are receiving power this week so you can walk out of here and utilize that power and tear down strongholds. Your life has been ordained to be a life of a warrior. You are supposed to be the champion. Let me explain what champion means. Champion is not just one who stands and fights a battle. But the word champion means one who stands between the gap. Y'all not hear me. David was a champion because he stood between the gap. He stood between the gap of the Philistines and Israel, and he won the battle for the sake of his people. Who here knows that you are a gap filler? There's been a breach in our families. There's been a breach in our lives. And God has raised us up through hell to stand in the gap. If I'm talking to you, go berserk and praise him like you please. Champions stand in the gap. Champions are curse breakers. Curse destroyers. Champions have the power to undo what Satan has done. Hallelujah. Champions don't need much. All champions need is a slingshot and a rock. I don't hear y'all here. All a champion needs is a rock and a slingshot, and he can bring any giant down. Do I have any champions in this room? A chatabaka city the ocean. All that a champion needs is a song. And if a champion gets the right song, he can stand and sing, praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And see Moab and Ammon and Mount Seir fight each other. And see the enemy that came to destroy you destroy itself. All a champion needs is a little bit. Somebody give God praise here. Champions don't need much. They just need to know who they are and know what their life was birthed for. Champions are not confused. Hallelujah. Champions understand that every bit of life is for our benefit. Not just the joy and not just the anointing and not just the touch and the falling out and not just the tongues and the dance and the, not just the excitement of holiness, but every bit of hell and every bit of pain and every tear that's shed and every loss that's incurred. It's all a part of a champion's maturation. It's all a part of how a champion grows. Look at somebody next to say, grow up. Tell them, grow up quick. Now give God praise. Sit down. Pastor Paula, God bless you, great woman of God. As you watch by internet, as you prepare for tonight, somebody give praise to God for Pastor Paula White. Oh, she's watching. She's watching. So give God praise. Everybody who's grateful for the ministry of this great woman, give God praise that'll make her heart happy. To the covering of Paula White, Pastor Randy White, and every bit of Without Walls ministry and Paula White ministry. I'm not going to be too much longer. I want us to deal for a brief moment with something that the Lord sent me here to tell you. I am am not one of the quintessential convention or conference speakers. Most people want to hear me sing, but that anointing for singing is just about gone. Because he's put a word in my belly. Now, the one thing that you never want to do is change the design of someone's life. You never want to pigeonhole them into how you perceive them initially, because you never know the transfiguration that God is going to do in them. You'll never understand that what you see initially is not how it's supposed to be in the end. If you are the same as you were in the beginning, then you did not mature. I don't hear you here. If you're the same as you were in the beginning, you did not mature. But as people saw your entrance into the world of ministry, they have to understand that you're still in the process of progress. Mm-hmm. And God causes growth and expansion. And growth is never easy, but it's necessary. Because God doesn't have any retarded children. And by retarded, I do not mean mentally. I mean you are not slow. God makes sure that we are up to speed. Somebody say, I got to catch up. And one thing that we've got to do is we've got to learn maturity. We've got to learn how to mature. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles very quickly to a familiar passage of Scripture. I'm not going to go deep. But the 23rd Psalm. I just want to talk about the 23rd Psalm. It's the shepherd's song. Hallelujah. Now, this psalm written by David is a wonderful song. Oh God, I wished that I could know the melody. I wish that there was some way to learn the true melody of this song. Everything that you find in the book of Psalms is a song. Psalms is a hymnal. And when David wrote this song, he wrote the songs through inspiration from God, dealing in the profession that he was accustomed to. For the first time you hear or see David, you see him with the sheep. You see him with the lambs. So this song is close to David's heart. And you know it. It just simply says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Now, we know it as a recitation. We know it as a recitation, as a memory verse that we may have learned in Sunday school. But that specific song has so much significance in the design of our lives. That specific psalm gives us an indication of how life is really supposed to be. Can I expound? The first part of this song that David writes, he just simply makes it plain that there's only one shepherd. I may get in trouble for this. There's only one shepherd. Everybody else is an under shepherd. But there's only one shepherd. Y'all don't hear me. My bishop is an under shepherd. My apostle is an under shepherd. My pastor is an under shepherd. And they are all sheep themselves. I told you I may get in trouble for this. But they're all sheep themselves. But there's only one shepherd. There's one chief shepherd.
And David makes it plain who he is. He is not just any old Bedouin sheep herder that's running around the countryside of Israel. This shepherd is the shepherd. And he is the Lord. He is the master. The Lord himself is my shepherd. And with the Lord being my shepherd, I'm guaranteed not to live in a state of want. It doesn't mean that I won't want, but it does mean that all my wants will be supplied, for he shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ. I may have some specific desires, but if I seek him first, I shall not want. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm not going to want for anything. If they don't want to, if they're not talking to me, say, hey, hey, I'm talking to you. Hey, 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 hey. I'm not going to want for anything, because the Lord himself is shepherding me. And one thing that David wants you to know is the nature of sheep. He makes me lie down in green pastures. The green pastures mean that there's tranquility and that there's an abundance of food. Now, the shepherd has got to keep the sheep in motion, because if he doesn't keep the sheep going from pasture to pasture, sheep don't have the sense to know when to stop eating. And if you leave them in one pasture for too long, they will continuously eat there until they eat the grass, the green grass. And they'll eat it until they eat down into the root. And they will eat the root. And that will cause no more grass to grow, because they've been in that one place too long. Oh God. And that's the problem with religion. We want to stay in one place. This is the way we did it back then, and this is how it used to be. But baby, we're not where we used to be. You got to move on. There's more pastures. There's more to know. And when you stay in one place in religion, you'll die there, not realizing that God is progressive. He's a moving God. Hallelujah. And we can't stay in one place. The chief shepherd will continuously move us from one green pasture to the next grazing pasture, to the next grazing pasture, to make sure that we are balanced. And then he will lead us by the still waters that represents peace. Sheep are skittish. They're very skittish. And they will not drink when the water is troubled. So the shepherd's got to make sure, in order for the sheep to grow, he leads them to specific waters that are still, that will allow them to quench their thirst in tranquility. Y'all don't hear me. Hallelujah. Green pastures. Still waters. And then it says, he restores my soul. Can I park here for a quick moment? It is very specific that the songwriter did not say he restores my spirit. As I read this and the Lord started to break things down to me a little bit, it was specific that he restores my soul. The soul is the one area that we don't want to deal with in our Christian walk. We want to be spiritual beings, and we should be. We have to walk in the spirit. But the spirit is connected to the soul. The soul and the spirit are two separate entities, never to be confused as the same.
The soul and the spirit are separate entities. Our spirit gives us God consciousness. Our soul gives us self-consciousness. Hallelujah. Our soul is the seat of our emotions. Hallelujah. And it is quite possible to have your spirit intact and your soul jacked up. It is quite possible to have your prayer life together and fasting and speaking in tongues and believing in the spiritual gifts and the miracles and all that stuff, you know, dancing in the spirit and singing the songs. It's quite possible to have your spiritual side. Your spirit side just believes in the truth and the reality of God, believes in the legitimacy and the divinity of this word. And you can believe in the infallibility of this word, and you can believe in the true deity of the Christ. Have your spirit connected, but your soul still jacked up. Y'all don't hear me. It's easy to come into a place where there's corporate worship and feel the presence of God and feel the lifting of burdens and feel yourself going up in the spirit and leave here and go back into depression. And leave the spiritual environment and go back into hellish situations. Y'all don't hear me. Go back into brokenness. Go back into the same cycle again. Because although we preach to the spirit man, we need to deal with the soul. We need to deal with that side of you, that emotional side of you that's topsy-turvy, that broken side of you that somebody else broke. Somebody broke your heart. Somebody broke your will. Somebody broke your desire to live. Somebody told you that you would never amount to anything. Somebody told you that you weren't qualified, you weren't smart enough, you didn't have enough. That's your soul, baby, that's your soul. That's your soul. But then the shepherd restores your soul. He heals your soul. Somebody lay your hand on your chest and say, God, heal my soul. Because I don't want to just be spiritually in tune and still be limping. I don't want to have the right verbiage but still dragging a lame leg. I want my body, soul, and spirit to be one. And if my spirit is intact, I need my soul to be in its right place too. Who am I talking to in this room? Somebody holler, heal my soul. But that's another message altogether, and that's not what I'm here to preach. But the chief shepherd deals with the whole man. The body, the spirit, and he restores the soul. And he gets you all together. He gets you well fed and then he takes you and makes sure that your thirst is quenched. Hallelujah. And he heals your soul. Hallelujah. And then it says this, he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Stop. The path of righteousness, when we hear that term, makes us godly anxious. We want to walk the path of righteousness. How many are determined that you're going to walk on this path of righteousness? How many are determined that if it costs your life, you are going to walk in righteousness? I'm glad you said that, my dears. Because you need to know something about the path of righteousness. This song is not disconnected. This song is not fragmented. This is one continuous thought through this song. And the path of righteousness leads you into a specific place. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Where does the path of righteousness lead us? Yea, though I walk.
Oh, you weren't expecting that, no. You thought the path of righteousness led you into heavenly places, and you thought the path of righteousness seated you up in the kingdom. Well, baby, before you get to your seat in the kingdom, you gotta take a walk. Before you get up sitting on the right hand of the Father, you gotta take a walk. The path of righteousness leads us down into a specific locale. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. Yeah, as long as you're walking on a mountain, walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. Hey, 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 hey. Yeah, 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 yeah. I know. All that sounds good. And he says, you want me to walk with you? Yeah, hold my hand, Lord. Hold my hand. And the Lord said, that's right, baby, give me your hand. Hold my hand, Lord. Mm-hmm. And you walking with him. And you think you're going up on the mountain. And he says, step down. Whoa, whoa, hold on, Jesus. No, 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 keep walking, keep walking. It's getting kind of dark, Jesus. I can't see. I can't see you. Hold, hold on, hold. Wait, wait, I can't feel you. That's called the path of righteousness. And in that path of righteousness, he leads you down out of the mountain into the valley. There are a lot of people in the valley right in this room. I know you're dancing like you're in the mountain, but the truth is you're in the valley, you're in the valley, you're in the valley. Truth is that you're smiling now, but there are tears that show that you're in the valley, you're in the valley. Leads me. Path of righteousness. That path takes me down into the valley of the shadow of death. I know we don't want to talk about this in, you know, your life's design, but this is a part of the life's design. You got to be tried in life. You don't want to talk about that. You just want to talk about your conquering, your overcoming. No, no, no. In order to conquer and overcome, you got to go through trial. Lead you down into the valley of the shadow of death. And then he says, don't fear. I can't feel you, I know, but don't fear. I can't see you, I know, but don't fear. There's death all around me, I know, but don't fear. I don't know where I am, I know, but don't fear. Trust me in the valley. Trust me in your trial. Trust me in the face of death. And though you walk through that valley, know this, you're not stopping. You're walking through. And in your walk, know that even if you can't feel me, I'm right here with you. I feel like running. I'm right here with you. You ever get to a point of total desperation and then he just shows up? And some of you may be at that point of desperation, you can't see him, but hold on, baby, hold on. In a few minutes, he's going. I'm trying to tell you, tell that devil, back up, back up, and give that devil fair warning, back up. Why am I backing up? Because he's about to. Somebody needs to be dancing right now. You need to be dancing right now. Somebody needs to tell poverty, back up, poverty, back up. Why? Because he's about. Somebody needs to tell sickness right now. Sickness, leukemia, cancer, heart failure, back up, back up, back up. Why? Because he's. Oh, somebody praise him right now. Somebody praise him right now. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And then, know this.
in the valley of the shadow of death, there are serious situations, life-threatening situations. God takes you into life-threatening situations. Man, I know we don't hear that preached very often, but God takes us into, not Satan, God takes us. See, we got to stop giving Satan props where he don't deserve it. The reason I'm in this situation is not because of sin, and it's not because of Satan. God put me. My faith had to be tried, and God had to set me in a place of trial. Oh, shake yourself from your notions of the enemy. Shake yourself from your notions of sin. This is God setting this up. Y'all better hear what I'm telling you. And when your enemies and your family and your people look at you and say, well, if you're so saved, why are you in this? Let them know it's not the devil, and they ain't got to do with my sin. It's God putting me here. And let your family, your friends, and your foe know that God's putting me through this for your deliverance. If I don't go through this valley, then I'll never see God break the curse over my family. I am the one. Hey, y'all don't hear me. There's something I always say, Sister Sheila. In order for others to be saved, somebody's got to be crucified. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel there's a shaking in this room. There's a shaking. And in the valley, there are life-threatening situations. And that is the reason why the shepherd carries a rod and a staff. And it makes the sheep comforted to know that the shepherd is on the job to protect, especially in the valley. Because the sheep understand that in the valley, my life is on the line, and I don't have the resources myself to take care of the type of things I'm about to run into. But the shepherd stands ready. The rod is for the wolves that wait in the darkness, ready to pounce on unsuspecting sheep. And when the wolf thinks that he has an opening and bares his fangs and growls his ferocious growl and causes the sheep to become afraid, the shepherd stands with the rod. Let God arise. And every enemy, every demon, comforts me to know that you've got a rod. And the rod is not just for the wolves, but the rod also works on the sheep. When the sheep get out of order, there is discipline in the design of our life. And the staff is an elongated pole with a hook on the end of it. A shepherd's staff. And it's to make sure that it wraps around the neck of the sheep, so that if the flock is moving one way and a sheep's attention is diverted and would lead them away from the flock into danger, the shepherd throws his staff out and grabs the sheep around the neck and pulls them back in. You know some of you are when we decided we was going to do our own thing.
And we decided we was tired of following the flock. And all of a sudden, God hooked us up. Do I have anybody here? You went to the club trying to get away from God. And in the club, God put that hook around your neck. And you know what I'm talking about. You tried to get with old friends. I won't go into detail. But you tried to get with old friends, and that staff grabbed you. And you couldn't do what you used to do because you got a shepherd now. You couldn't go back to what you used to go back into because you have a shepherd. Who am I talking to in this room? Rod and thy staff. Rod and thy staff comfort me. But then all of a sudden, you see in the darkness, you hear the laughter, you hear the mocking of people who don't like you. They've been waiting for you to get down that low so that they can have a field day at your expense. People who said that you never make it. People who laughed at you and said it won't be long before you fall. People who said you're too fanatical. People who said you're gonna be just like your mama. You're gonna be just like your no good daddy. People who said you're gonna fail like others failed before. And they stand around in the valley and you hear them mocking and jeering. But then you see the shepherd do something very unique. He sets up, gets the fine linen, while your enemies laugh. He gets the fine linen and he lays it across the banquet table. He gets the fine china. Puts it out. He gets the fine goldware, not the silverware, the goldware. Make sure that it's glistening and shining. It's refined gold. And he puts it out on the table. You yourself wonder what he's doing. My enemies are trying to kill me, and you making a feast. My enemies are laughing at me, and you're making a whole banquet. Well, once he's finished, he puts a throne there and says, sit down. Why? Because your enemies need to see that I'm on your side. I will make a table before you in the presence of your enemies. You may mock me now, but he's making a table. You may discount me now, but he's setting up a table. You may disqualify me now. Oh, y'all don't hear me. That I'm so glad for every enemy that laughed at me. I'm so glad for everybody who used to make fun of me. I thank them right now. Where's the camera? Where's the camera? You all need to look. You know, find a camera right now. Find a camera. Look at it and throw a kiss because your enemies are watching. They're watching on the internet. They're watching. They really made it to that conference. Prepares a table before me while my enemies are present. And then you make me eat while they watch. They can't eat what I'm eating because they didn't go through what I went through. Was designed to go into the valley. because I found out that's in the valley that I'm going to be blessed. Y'all didn't hear that. You thought you were going to be blessed on the mountain. No. God has your blessing in the valley of trial, in the valley of temptation, in the valley of shadows, in the valley of death. Let me tell you this, and I'm going to sit down. There's no better blessing than a blessing in a place where you're supposed to be through. There's no better blessing than a blessing that comes to you when you think that you're done. There's no better blessing than the blessing that comes when other people have counted you out. They're at the 10 count. And just as they're at 8, 9, God opens up everything and says, they may be down, but they're not out. Look at somebody and say, I may be down, but baby, I'm not out. And then, after he sets me up, don't anybody in this room waste your life's design trying to defend yourself against your enemy's reports. Do not waste time and energy
Mo Music
trying to prove anything to your enemies. Your life was not designed to waste all of its energy and anointing on proving anything to your enemies. God will show your enemies who you are. Did you hear me? We waste too much time in the body of Christ crying over who lied on us and who doesn't like us and who won't ordain us and who won't... Stop crying. Grow up. Grow up. I can't waste my time on my enemies anymore. That's for children, the babies. That's for the little ones that haven't matured. And they're still crying, going back to daddy. Daddy, they're talking about me. Daddy, they don't like me. Daddy. And yeah, that only goes so far until your daddy grab you and shake you. And say, boy, you're a McClurkin. Who cares if they don't like you? Stand up and be a McClurkin. Even if they don't like you, make them respect you. You don't hear me. If they don't like you, make them respect you. If they're talking about them, let them respect the way you stand through their talk. If they're hating on you, make them respect how you walk through their hatred. And never bow and never cry. I'm trying to get through to somebody here. Make your enemy stand back and say, I gave them my best shot, but they keep walking. Because before you know it, the way you walk through it will make enemies become your friends. Y'all better hear me. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to tell you. I've had some enemies that hated me. One of the brothers in the church told the story, stood up in front of the congregation, told the story about he and another brother, how they planned to take me out. Not just to beat me up, but to take me out. Told the whole congregation their plan to take me out. But now they're saved and members of the church. Faithful members of the church. I can't drive anywhere without them saying, Pastor, I'll take you. Because you can walk so through the valley of the shadow of death that your enemies watch you walk and see how strong you are and see your faith and say, I hated you and I didn't know why, but I see something in you and I want what you got. Hey, grow up. Every enemy doesn't stay an enemy. Everybody say, every enemy
doesn't stay an enemy.
You can live so that your enemies see Christ in you, the hope of glory.
and want to bow their knee to that same Savior. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. And then while your enemies watch, he does something unique. He takes the oil. The oil represents promotion. When Samuel went to Jesse's house, he had the horn of anointing filled with oil. And the oil seal would not burst over Shammah's head. It wouldn't burst over Eliab's head. It wasn't released over Abinadab's head. And when they went through all of the sons of Jesse, and the oil would not flow, the prophet Samuel asked the question, "Do you have any more sons?" Because they overlooked the little one. Oh God, I'm trying to get to you. They overlooked the insignificant one. They went for the people who looked like they fit the bill. Even Samuel himself thought it was going to be one of the statuesque boys. But it's wonderful the way God just confounds the wise and the one that people think is least qualified. Oh, I'm talking to you in this room. The ones that people think are least qualified and the ones who are the least to be chosen, that's the one that God's holding that oil back for. Is he holding that oil back for anybody in this room? And when Samuel asked, "Do you have any more sons?" Jesse had forgotten about him himself. It's amazing how your fathers can forget you. It's amazing. And it's for a purpose. It wasn't because Jesse didn't love David, but it was because this is going to make the story so much better of how the little runt, the insignificant boy, is overlooked because he doesn't fit the statuesque bill. He's not as profound as the prophet or prophetess. He's not as eloquent as the bishop, or he's not as qualified as the apostle. But you're called. Oh, somebody say, "I'm called." And the oil may not have flowed, but it's going to flow. Because he has to. And when Jesse answers Samuel and says, "Well, there's one more." "Yeah, there is one more, but he's too small and he's out in the field. We just keep him occupied watching sheep. We just keep him occupied watching the lambs." But they didn't realize, and I'm almost finished. They didn't realize that by watching the lambs, his relationship with God was developing. By being out there and smelling like the sheep and writing songs with nobody for an audience but the little ewes and the rams and dancing in the hills and twirling and playing his harp. And he thought nobody was watching, but he had an audience of one. You don't hear what I'm saying. Just like you don't think anybody's paying attention to you because you don't have a microphone and you don't have a spotlight on you and you're not standing in the round and you're not preaching to the people. But baby, it's not the people that preach, it's the people that are preached to. You don't hear what I'm saying. There's no need for a preacher if it wasn't because of you. God wants to get a message across to you. We don't glorify the preachers. The preachers only call because of the people. If there's no people, there's no need of a preacher. And as he's singing and dancing, his brothers laugh at him. His father thinks he's a little off. You know how it is when you're in church and you want to get loose, but your brother sitting next to you think you're a little off. Your sister behind you say, "There they go again. Make me sick. They're just all crazy and just look at them. Can't even come to church without just screaming and..." But I just been through the valley of the shadow of death. Hallelujah. And I'm dancing because he anointed my head.
You think you got to feel something to dance. But baby, just think about who God is. And think about he qualified you in your hell. He anointed you in the valley. And your enemies see you rejoice. Dance. When you should be dancing. Because he anointed your head with oil and your cup. I'm trying not to go real Pentecostal on you. Because I feel like laying my hands on a few people right now. There are impartations. God is imparting it to somebody right now. And I feel it in my spirit. Somebody's being anointed with oil right now. Your life is being charged. You're being transformed. Hallelujah. So you can go back home knowing that you've been anointed. You can go back home knowing that even though nobody laid a hand on you, God himself, your shepherd, anointed your head with oil. Ramandasu. And as you're walking out of the valley, because you're not there to stay, it's just there to be tried. And when the trying of your faith is finished, it works patience. Patience, hope, and hope experience. Patience, experience, and spirit's hope. Hope makes not ashamed. So you can walk out of the valley glad for the experience. With the hope of the glory of God. And as you're walking out and as the shepherd is leading you out of the valley, take a moment and notice something, that you're being followed. Who is this? Just goodness. Just mercy. Hey, God help me. You've been there all the time, show hand. We walked in here with you, and we're walking out with you. It's by the goodness of the Lord that I haven't been overcome. It's by the mercy of God that my punishment has been taken away. Goodness, mercy. Oh!
finish, everybody standing. For the rest of the days of my life, goodness and mercy, Sheila, is going to follow me. Goodness is translated into grace. Goodness and mercy follow me. For the rest of my existence on this earth, I will have the goodness of God, the grace of God, and the mercy of God following me. What a setup, what a setup. That means even if my foot starts to slip, mercy said no. Satan comes and says, hey, they're disqualified. Look at what they did. Mercy said, no, 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 no. I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said no. Sin will never take control. When life and death stood face to face, darkness tried to steal my soul away. Thank you, Jesus. Mercy said no. I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said no. Sin will never take control. Oh, life and death stood face to face, and darkness tried to steal my soul away. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Say, I'm not gonna let you, I'm not gonna let you slip away. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be. Mercy said, sin will never take control. Sin will never. Mercy following me. Grace and mercy for the rest of my life on this earth as everyone stands to your feet. For the rest of my life on this earth, I will have the grace of God and His mercy. And then when I leave this earth, my last breath and the last beat of my heart, when my spirit and soul exit this human frame and I cross the portals of eternal glory, as I walk through the gates, step my feet upon the streets of gold, and make my way to the gleaming palace in the sides of the north, make my way past all of the ancients of days, walk into the very throne room, and I kneel. Can I kneel in His presence? And as finally my face will become sight, and I will finally be able to look into the eyes without the veil, be able to look into the eyes of the living God. And I will hear Him say words. I will hear Him say words. I will see Him smile and look and say, "Donnie, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, and now I will make you ruler over many. Come, my beloved, enter into the joy. Enter into the joy of the Lord, and then I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That is the ultimate goal of the shepherd. Hallelujah. That is the ultimate goal of the shepherd. Ultimate goal of the shepherd is to lead us through this life victorious, and to lead us from earth to glory. That is the design of our lives, to walk in obedience with God. Walk in obedience with God. That is the design of our lives. To walk in total obedience with God and to be divested of sin. Hear me, to be divested of sin. To walk in holiness and true righteousness. To walk in obedience to God, so that when He sees me, He can see Himself. When the shepherd looks on me, he wants me to be so refined that he sees himself. That he sees his characteristics. He sees his image. So I can't have any sin in me. Can't make excuses. If the shepherd is leading me, I can't make excuses for having sin. Because if I'm really under the guidance of a true shepherd, he is going to make sure that my wool is clean. He's going to pick all the burrs and all the thorns out of my wool. He's going to clean me of all parasites and ticks. So if you're walking as a true sheep and he is your shepherd, you are supposed to be cleansed from your sin. With no spot or blemish or any such thing, no wrinkles. Hear what I'm telling you. Right now in this dome, we cannot make excuses for sin. Our life was not designed for sin. Our body can't function in sin. Our body wasn't made for sin. Sin tears this body up. Sin ages us. Sin debilitates this frame. We weren't made for sin. And we're surely not made to excuse our sins. No, no, no. If we are his people and the sheep of his pasture, then we must be cleansed of all sin. We cannot keep making excuses for dabbling and dipping. Hear me. We can't have one foot in the secular and one foot in salvation. No, 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 no. Come out from among them and be separate and don't even touch the unclean thing. We can't have the blessings of God and the cursings of man in our mouth. We're his sheep. We're his sheep. And no matter how angry we get, we don't revert to our old nature. You can't tell me that you're his sheep and still cursing people in your anger. Hear me, hear me. I'm not trying to be pretty now. There's a difference between sheep and goat. You can't be a sheep and still in fornication. Hear me, everybody in this room. We're going old school now. We're going back to the shepherd's manual. Going right back. This is a new day, but it's the same gospel. Fornication is not to be mentioned among the sheep. I don't hear you here. And if you are guilty, know this, the shepherd is merciful. That staff is out to pull you back in. If you are in this room guilty, no fear. Your shepherd has a staff. We are not his sheep, still dealing in addictions. Hear me, you're supposed to grow out of that, grow out of it. You're not still drinking. Y'all hear what I'm saying? You're not still drinking. The Bible says wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. It is not the place of the Christian to be involved and imbibing in alcoholic beverages that's going to kill this body. I don't care how social you call yourself being. I can be in any social environment and keep my light shining. And you drink your cocktail and you drink your wine. What am I going to drink? I'm going to drink the word, baby. I'm going to drink it. Why? Why? There ain't nothing wrong. I'm a sheep. That's why. I can't just do what every goat does. I can't do what every goat does. I'm a sheep. This body is the temple. So I don't put any carcinogens in this body because it's not mine. I'm not smoking anything because it's not my body. Oh, I'm trying to get through to you right now. Some of you in here with your cigarettes in your pocket, but know this, baby, it's time for deliverance. God is a delivering God. He's a delivering God. He's a delivering God. Hear me. It is the right of every Christian to be free.
And you can take your cigarettes and throw them down and say, you will not have power in the name of Jesus. My freedom is in Christ. And if I got to go cold turkey and sit somewhere and shake, I refuse to go back because I have been bought with a price. Hear me. Everyone, stay still for one moment. And I don't want anyone to leave until the benediction is proclaimed. Hear what I'm telling you. You have no place to go. You came for a conference. Raise your hand and say, I will not leave until the benediction is pronounced. Now, everybody who stands in this room and the conviction of God has hit you because of your sin, praise God for that. Praise God that you can still feel the conviction of God, that He hasn't just left you in your sin, but that He's still calling you, wooing you, courting you, trying to pull you in closer. It's a good thing for God to convict you if you have sin. It shows that you're still His child. Your life belongs to Him. The design of your life is in His hands. And while you're in sin, you prohibit Him from giving you true direction. But every one of you that are, hear me, and I want you to make room for them because they're going to come around this stage. Every one of you that know that you have sin in your life, and that sin is it's a reproach to God. It's absolutely speaks against all that He accomplished on the cross of Calvary. That blood is still efficacious. That blood is still intact. That blood is still powerful and potent enough to wash away your sins. So every one of you that have sin guiltiness and you do not want to stay that way, hear me. It's no shame in admitting you have sin. It's a shame keeping sin in a conference like this. Every one of you that says, I'm guilty and I want to be clean of this sin. I want to be a clean sheep, a white sheep. I want God to purify me and I don't want to live like this any longer. Make your way. Run down here now. Run down here now. Get out the way. Let them move. Let them move. Run, 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 run. Run, 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 run. I'm telling you, forgiveness waits right here. Run, 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 run. 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 And know that you're in the right place at the right time. His mercy endures forever. His mercy. His mercy. They're still coming. Somebody give God praise. They're still coming. Look at all these souls. We are His sheep. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. Your life, put the camera away, baby. Your life is not designed for sin. Your life is designed for holiness. Ephesians 1 and 4 says that He chose us while we were in Him before the foundation of the world. He chose us to be holy. And I will not give myself over to sin when this life is dedicated to God. To stand down here is no embarrassment. It is a sign of, it is a badge of honor. It is a badge of honor. You can raise your hands and glorify God knowing that He called you. And Satan has no business having any hold on your life. Raise your hands. Nobody leaving. No one leaving. Holiness, 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 holiness.
Raise your hands. You are not alien to prayer. You know how to pray. You've just strayed away and you've allowed things to settle in your spirit that are against God. So now let God wash you clean. The blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over every soul. I plead the blood of Jesus over every soul. The cleansing blood. The purifying blood of Jesus. The blood that makes whole. The blood that washes. In the mighty name of Jesus, raise your hands and just ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to take it out of you. Ask Him to take it out. Ask Him to have mercy on you. That's right. I see those cigarettes down here. That's right. That's what you do. You throw them right up here. That's right. That's deliverance. Somebody's delivered. This is old school deliverance. That if you got your stuff, you throw it up here. No shame, you're getting rid of it. And it's just like you throw it up here, you're throwing it out of your life. Hallelujah. And just tell God, take it from me. Take it from me. That's right, that sister had enough nerve. Throw it up here. Take it from me. Take it from me. Take it. Take my drugs. Take my prescription medicine. That's right, I see another pack here. I see another pack here. Take it. Take it. Take it.
Every stronghold is destroyed. We pull down every stronghold in the name of Jesus. There is no more bondage. There is no more imprisonment. Every shackle be destroyed in the mighty name of Jesus. Every addiction be abolished. We declare it. Let the true saints of God break the curse, destroy the curse. Yoshi. Your life was designed for freedom. Your life is designed for freedom. You are not to be bound by anything. You are designed for freedom. You are not to be hindered or chained to anything. Your life is designed for freedom. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Raise those hands. Tell him, thank you, Jesus, for your anointing that makes me free. Say it, thank you, Jesus, for your anointing that makes me free. Now praise him for his mercy. Your sins are washed away by the blood.
More music.
Do not go back to your sins.